Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I am just so thrilled to have the guest that I've got with me today. Her name is Barb Rogers. Her book is titled, If I Die Before I Wake. When I went through this book, I actually read it, I just said, oh my goodness, this is a woman of tremendous courage. Not only that, but also a woman of tremendous character. Barb, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
I was so impressed with the way that you wrote this book. And I know on the back of your book, you say you're the first to say you're not very special. Yes, you've led a hard life. You tell your story as you want it to be told, and you use humor in it as well. But what this does, I think, is open one's eyes to the reality that life is not a straight line. And whatever choices we make, the positioning of ultimate responsibility has to be in our lap. And you just, really, you're gutsy. That's the only way I know how to say it. And I'm not using that in any way, in a derogatory way. Barbara, it probably was pretty tough writing this book, wasn't it?
The hardest book I've ever written. It took about 5 years for me to get work to the point that I could actually write it.
Wow. Now, when you started writing the story about your life, what was the biggest challenge that faced you when you were starting to write your personal story about being an alcoholic in your recovery process?
I think the hardest part was the admissions I had to make to myself of the truth of some of the things I did that hurt my children, and of what I did, you know, with my oldest son, you know, before he died. I didn't do things intentionally, but I certainly didn't know how to be a parent, and I wasn't very good at it. And I think that was the hardest part. I think I really, truly, in writing this book, had to come to grips with my responsibility in my son's addiction and death, my oldest son's, and even with my babies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was real tough.
I want to read the very first part of your book because the description is so powerful, and it really grabs you right at the very beginning. You say, I knock at the door and the only constant in my life is God. The one decent thing I ever did, my reason to go on, is no more. Music is playing on the radio, the cat is climbing the curtains, the dog is barking, the washing machine is humming, and my son is dead. Everything is the same, and nothing is the same. In the kitchen, I fill a water glass half full of gin, drink it down in two gulps and pour another, and I pace from one room to the next. That is very powerful, very gripping.
Thank you.
Now, this was something, when this hit you, the grief was so intense because there were so many levels of your life that you were trying to deal with.
Right.
And your son's death was really that final straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak.
Yes.
And it was really something. You have a statement where you said what you didn't know nearly killed you. And this is, again, right at the beginning. Why was that statement made?
I think in the part of the book where I was talking, what I didn't know nearly killed me was I thought I knew so many things, you know. I thought, especially after I got educated, you know, I thought I had all kinds of answers,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't. when I did, you know, I thought I had all these things. I had gotten my education. I thought I could help my son, which was stupid. You know, I couldn't even help myself. And that was partly, you know, what drove him away. And then got, you know, he ended up addicted and dead. Mm-hmm. But I just had this, I guess, this alcoholic way of thinking that, you know, delusional, that I knew things I didn't. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I realized in sobriety how little I knew. Yeah. But, you know, by then it was too late for a lot of things.
Well, I think you're to be commended for, first of all, acknowledging that this was here. I think that your courage in writing this book and putting so much information out for the world to see and being able to discuss it is the mark of a courageous person. Because in our society, as I think in many societies throughout the world, we are encouraged, both men and women, both, to have our secrets, to be able to be honest with our pain, with our anger, with whatever we're going through. It is not, and I'm not saying go ballistic with it.
Yeah.
I'm saying being honest about our roles in creating whatever has created this environment around us. And sometimes we haven't had much to do with it. Most of the time we've done something to put ourselves mm-hmm. into certain situations. Not always. It's not black and white.
No.
And this isn't to label anybody as guilty or, you know, gee, you're a saint, you're, you know, you're a hellion. No, that's not it. That's not what this is about. But what I found so interesting in your book is that your mother was an alcoholic and
yes.
also very much involved in pills. So you really came up in this environment, and she had a lot of anger issues. She had a lot of distortion.
Yes.
And you were pretty strong-willed. You were someone, man, you were gutsy, even when you were young.
Yeah.
Do you think that because of what you were involved with your mother, do you think that that had the influence on your life? Some people would say, well, gee whiz, I had an alcoholic father, I had a drug addict for a mother, and that's the last thing I'd ever choose to be involved with, and they're not. Yet they find in research so many times there are those patterns, and I've seen them. I mean, we have this type of situation even in my own family,
yeah.
and I've seen it, and there is this patterning. Why do you think you ended up getting involved with it?
Well, I started, you know, I grew up with almost my entire family alcoholic or addicted or both.
Mm-hmm.
And sexual problems, you know, and all kinds of things going on. Everything that went around alcoholism and drug addiction happened in our house and around our relatives and things. I learned to be a survivor real early in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where that toughness you're talking about comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get tough or die.
Well, you also, when you were young, you made a statement in your book, the only time you ever got to touch your babies was after they were dead.
Right.
You had children that didn't survive
right.
very long after birth or even you know, survive the process. And when you're young, and we can intellectualize all we want, but there are those baby blues that hit. I mean, there is a tremendous chemistry that is just devastating.
It is, and I think that's, too, why my son, my oldest son, became such an important part of my life, was that he was the only constant. I had him when I was 15, and then my other children were born later when I was 17 and 19, and they didn't live very long, just days and weeks, you know, and but I had him to go home to.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day he wasn't there anymore, you know, and that's, I think, like you say, was the point when I thought my life was over.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the only thing I had in this world left.
Now, there was something I found intriguing. Even with all of these various challenges, which you describe in your book, If I Die Before I Wake, you describe how you picked up tarot cards and you would do readings for people.
Yes, I did.
And after your son's death, you didn't touch them anymore because it really was very, very upsetting to you. So you have a very high level of intuition in addition to all of this other stuff. How did that, was that a conflict for you?
Oh, I don't know that it was a conflict, and I'm sure that a lot of my instincts about people and situations I picked up off the streets, you know, and I lived on mm-hmm. the streets sometimes, mm-hmm. and I've had to con my way through life, you know, a lot. And so I had to learn to be intuitive about people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's awful to say, but, you know, in many ways, a lot of the poverty and the way I lived and the things I did saved my life and brought me to other things later, you know, when I got sorted out and when I got sober. And, you know, today I know that my past is probably one of my greatest assets.
Mm-hmm. See, I agree with you. You couldn't put this powerful book together for a message for other people if you had not reached that point of understanding that your journey is one that has honesty and integrity in it, even though a good portion of it, you ran away from that aspect because you didn't want to look it right in the eye. But that's okay. Now you do. And
right.
Now you're even more powerful as an individual because where you played the role of the con can't con a con.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've got
it comes in handy these days.
So now you can, you know, it's just like, okay, that's fine. Now let's go to page 4 because I've already been through 1 to 3 and
yes.
4. And you can even go to 10, sweetheart, but I know the rules. The, you know,
yes.
There are no rules in this stuff. Now, you had a man in your life by the name of Tom.
And oh, he's still here.
He's still in your life, but both of you had a problem with addiction.
Yes.
Now, tell us a little bit about Tom, because that's not the case anymore. But you just seem to have this magnetism towards each other.
We did.
Mm-hmm. When did you first meet?
Mm-hmm. I met him when I was 20 years old, and I had run away from an abusive husband in Arizona and went to Illinois. And my son and I, and I met this man, and he wasn't at all the type of man I was usually involved with, but something about him was different, and I fell in love, which was real scary for me at that point in my life, because I'd been hurt so badly.
Mm-hmm.
I had just left a man who brutalized me, and I had escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And so I certainly wasn't looking to be in love with anybody. And you know, I think I figured out that to love meant to hurt. Somebody was going to hurt me if I cared about them.
That comes out of the mouth of a lot of abused people,
yeah.
Male or female. It's as if they go into that repetitive patterning because that means they're loved when somebody hurts them.
Yes.
So it's not,
I, you know,
not love, but that's what
I closed myself off to that love. I told myself I could, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I ran as far as fast from this man as I could, but I never could get him out of my head. He was always with me in my mind.
Now, how long were the two of you outside of each other's experience? Because you broke up.
Oh yeah, we were 18 years away from each other, pretty much.
What brought him back into your life?
My son's death.
Amazing. Okay.
And Tom was, at one point, the only real father that my son loved him dearly. And he wanted me to be with him so bad that one time when I got married and went to Florida, he hitchhiked back to Illinois.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was only 13
wow.
that he came back to be with Tom. And but see, Tom was drinking. He had a drinking problem too,
mm-hmm.
and I sobered up, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. And so we couldn't be together, and it was honest to God, I never believed, you know, soulmates and all this other, and fate, mm-hmm. and, you know, God's bringing two people together, but I swear he brought us back together, mm-hmm. you know, after about 2.5 years of being sober and not seeing Tom. Okay. He called me and told me he hadn't had a drink in 6 months, and could we have a cup of coffee?
Mm-hmm.
And we went to have coffee, and it was one of those little places where you go get your coffee, and then you take it back and sit. And as he pulled out this billfold to pay for the coffee, and it was a billfold my son had made for him in Cub Scouts.
Oh, my goodness.
That he'd kept all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just knew. I knew then. See, I always knew that I loved him, but I couldn't believe he loved me that much.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, we've been married 25 years.
Wow, what a story. And
we still like each other.
And we still like each other. Woohoo! That's a cool statement.
That's big.
That is really big, especially after what you had been through. Now, you met a guy by the name of Jack.
Oh, Jack C., yeah.
Yeah, Jack C., and he was a recovering alcoholic, and
right.
he recognized you, and he said to you at one time, if you think you're going to drink or drug, call me first.
Right.
He had the withdrawal emergency kit, and that's all he said to you. And then he said, you don't worry about tomorrow or the next hour, even the next moment. All the worry in the world won't change one thing.
That's
all
right.
You have to concentrate on is the moment, and not put anything nasty into your mouth.
Right. He said that more than once.
How long did it take for you to be at ease? Because, again, this is something you were battling with these demons that had not really been brought out in the open. Your book
No.
is so vivid in description here. This is really a challenge for you. How long were you working with Jack?
Oh, my goodness. I went to a meeting every day for 3 years, every evening.
Wow.
Sometimes twice on Sundays. And either Jack or one of the other guys in the meeting made sure I got to a meeting, because a lot of times my old car wouldn't run
mm-hmm.
most of the time. But anyway, they made sure I got to lots of meetings. But it was very slow for me. I had a big struggle with sobriety. I didn't drink,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to all the time. I did for the first 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to drink. I didn't think I'd ever quit wanting to drink.
You know, there is so much relative to that, because when you're an alcoholic, you're a drug addict. It's mm-hmm. become my understanding that you usually are experiencing a form of malnutrition, because
yes.
you're not eating well.
Mm-hmm.
And so then if you are trying to kick the habit, you're going to end up typically having a tremendous craving for sugar.
Yes.
It is. I mean, they could let you off in a candy shop and you'd sit there and smile. You'd be there a year later. I mean, that's just, it's like, forget this beef, steak, and potatoes. I want my candy.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
This, and it is because these substances create.
Sugar.
Yes, the sugar and the
illusion. They turn to sugar, yeah.
Yep, the illusion. And with alcohol especially, and we have a friend that my husband has known for years, and when he kicked the habit, he was told basically by a physician who was just absolutely wonderful in his bedside manner. He walked into this gentleman who was suffering from the DTs, and he looked
mm-hmm.
at him, and he said, you know what? I'm a busy man. Now, you have a choice. You are dying right now at this moment. You either are going to go into rehab and give up the booze, otherwise, you are released right now, and you can go out and you can die. That's
mm-hmm.
fine. I've got other people who want to live. What's your choice?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty harsh, you know. Like I yeah. said, his bedside manner was really endearing. Well, our friend ended up just being traumatized, shocked by this.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had ever said this to him. And this is a guy that could down a fifth of scotch in 5 minutes and say, where's the next one? And he was hideous. He was just hideous to be around. He was one of those nasty drunks. Not a happy one, nasty. But anyhow, that was the first thing. I'll never forget him saying this. And he denies he told me this, but he did. I'll never forget it. He said that after he stopped drinking, he never, ever, nobody could ever convince him that the alcohol affected his brain. But he said for 3 years, it took 3 years for his body chemistry to really work out. And he was a sugaraholic. He must have put on 50 pounds. Because pies, cakes, candy, which he never touched before.
Right.
Never touched it before. But it was a substitute, and eventually he leveled out. He doesn't do that anymore. But it's something, the chemistry of the body has changed so much.
Right.
And that's the big challenge, because you take the alcohol and it's straight, just like straight sugar shock.
Yes. I went through the shakes. I had the shakes for probably 6 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
I had the alcoholic itch.
Mm-hmm.
I had insomnia for over a year.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a daily battle for me. I didn't drink, but boy, I wanted to. But like I say, I went to a meeting every night, you know, for three years. Because I knew if I was at that meeting, I wasn't going to get drunk.
Well, I'll tell you what I really got a chuckle out of is that there was one meeting that Jack wanted you to go to, a women's luncheon.
The dress.
Yes, and they got you a ticket. And you decided you were going to get out of this because you didn't really want to go. And you said, Jack, gee, I'm sorry, my old car isn't running well. I'd be afraid to drive it out of town. But you know what? The guys found a ride with a woman you could not stand.
Exactly.
And you had to ride with her for 2 hours to get to the meeting. These people really knew what to do.
Oh, they did. It was a ladies' luncheon. And, of course, like most female alcoholics, I wasn't very comfortable with ladies. I'm not sure I even knew a lady. But, and then I didn't have a dress. And they borrowed this god-awful dress from this woman who had to be the worst dresser in AA.
Oh, my goodness.
And I had to wear it. It looked like a big flower garden. It was hideous. And I tried everything to get out of going to that ladies' lunch, and I couldn't even imagine what a bunch of women did in a room without men.
Well, you got an education, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that you've got so much that you've accomplished. You were able to get through that first year. You reached a point where you were able to pay your bills. You realized that you could stand on your own 2 feet without a man in your life.
Yes,
that
I did.
You had value as a human being, and you didn't have to lie. You didn't have to cheat. You could be who you really are as a person. And that really is something that is so important. And there's a lot of people that never take a drink in their lives that haven't accomplished that.
That's true.
Gee whiz.
That's a pretty big deal. You know, considering all the masks I wore throughout my life and the lies and living the lies and the delusions and things, to be totally honest for the first time in my life, not to have any secrets, not to owe anybody anything anymore, just to be free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the first time in my life, I was free.
What would you say to men and women that maybe have a spouse or a youngster or a member of family or maybe a dear friend that is an alcoholic, and they see it, they know it? There are some people that have one drink and they're out of it.
Right.
There are other people, like this guy that we knew, that could take a fifth of scotch,
sure,
and that would be, you know, his glass of water, and then he'd take a few more so he'd have a chaser or two. And it was just, it's just amazing. It all depends on someone's physiology.
Yes.
But what would you say to my audience today about this? And they're saying, oh, my God, if you only knew what I was going through, I just don't know what to do.
Well, the main thing is that you know, you can love them to death, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're, the girl that confronted me was a girl that I drank with. She was my only friend. And she just said, "You've got a problem. You need help." And she turned around and walked out.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the only person I had left in the world, you know, and she drank with me. So I thought, what in the world? At first I got really angry, of course. But that was the thing that happened. She didn't try to fix me, you know, or anything like that. She just said, in essence, you know, what you're doing is unacceptable, even to me. And I think that is getting help for yourself, because a lot of people don't understand alcoholism and drug addiction, and that's why they have Al-Anon, and that's why you can read books and,
mm-hmm.
you know, get educated about whatever is going on in your life like that. Get educated and find an Al-Anon meeting or talk to a counselor or somebody who knows about it. Or
mm-hmm.
read books on it, because that's the thing, is alcoholics and addicts are the greatest cons in the world. We are the manipulators of the world, and we will do anything to get our needs met.
That's the truth.
And so, you know, you have to protect yourself, because you can't change what the alcoholic or addict's doing, but you can change what you're doing.
You have not only defeated alcoholism, you have also put cancer at bay. You straightened out your life, and you've got a wonderful husband, and then you got that.
I had Graves' disease.
Graves' disease,
mm-hmm.
and you've gone through so much, and you have such a terrific attitude about life.
Oh, I love life.
I think that, you know, there's just so much information in your book that I think is eye-opening for anybody that really wants to get a real down-to-earth view of what people's lives can be like. And I think, Barbara, you have done an incredible job. Now,
do you have
a website that people
yes.
can go to?
Okay. It's BarbRogersInspirations.com.
All right. Now, are you still doing Barb, B-A-R-B, Rogers, Inspiration.com? Now, are you still doing your costumes and designing like you did?
Well, I recently haven't been doing much because I just had surgery on my liver.
Okay.
But I do custom costumes. I do books on costuming. And I help people get their little costume shops going and stuff like that when I can, when and where I can.
Well, I'm telling those of you who are listening, this is a book that it's something that when you read it, you want to really read it, not in a hurry. If you're a speed reader, turn off the fast forward and just really read and mentally listen to what this woman has to share, because it is powerful, it is profound, and it's really eye-opening. And if you have anyone in your life who is going through a challenge like this and you just wonder, what can I do? I think Barbara's book will just absolutely open your eyes. And her website is www.BarbRogersInspiration.com. This is a memoir of drinking and recovering. Its title, If I Die Before I Wake. Yes, powerful story. Barb Rogers, I wish you the best with this. I hope that a lot of people will hear your message and take it to heart.
Well, thank you, Donna, and thanks for doing the interview with me.
It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And our telephone lines are now open. So if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, it would be my pleasure. Here is the toll-free worldwide number of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, all I need from you when you call in, if you're a first-time listener, I just need your first name or initial, and of course, I'm always delighted to find out where you're calling in from. And then after that, just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anyone or anything that you like. So again, 888-815-9756. I do want to let those of you who are in the Western Washington area that on October the 7th, there's going to be a very special event. It's called an Evening of Mediumship, and this is going to be featuring a number of different people that will be demonstrating their talents in different ways. And there's going to be a transphysical phenomena medium. His name is Michael. I've met Michael. He's quite a fascinating man, and he's very gracious. And this is not something you find very often that someone is able to do with their mediumship skills because it's physically very demanding. So on October 7th, it's a Thursday from 7 until 9 at the Blue Mouse Theater, which is at 2611 North Proctor Street in Tacoma, Washington, there is going to be this performance, and there are tickets, and you can go to the spiritualartsalliance.com, spiritualartsalliance.com, and find out more. Or you can call them directly at 253-503-3773. And the evening's event is going to be going on from 7 until 9. So I think it'll be a fascinating program, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to attend myself. I will not be up on the stage, but I always enjoy seeing people demonstrate their talents because I really believe that the intuitive process of life is something that we must become acquainted with. And I say must, and I know we've got a caller, and I'll be going to that caller in just a moment. But the reason I say we must become acquainted with it is that it's your natural legacy. For any of you that maybe have what you call your sixth sense, and some people call it a seventh sense, about people, animals, environments, and you go, gee whiz, I feel a little weird about it. I don't know if I should be concerned or spooked. No, don't be. Your natural abilities are there. They're a built-in part of your survival package. And so you want to be able to see, to read, to talk to people, which, by the way, I want to thank all of the wonderful people at the Emerald Spiral Expo. And those of you that came by to say hello, that are listeners of the show, thank you so much. And thanks to all of the staff that made the event possible. It was wonderful. And I just had an absolutely fabulous day, as did my assistant, Judy Hensroth, who was with me on Saturday to assist me. It's just a wonderful thing to do when you can share skills and talents with people so that they know that this is normal and natural. You don't need to be afraid of it. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. My name is Chris. I'm a new listener to your call. And I'm from Arizona.
Oh, where are you in Arizona, Chris?
Do you know where Chandler is?
No, I don't, but that's all right. I'm sure other people do that are listening.
Well, it's adjacent to Phoenix, so I'm in the Valley of the Sun.
Ah, well, you can huff and puff and send us a little bit of that sun. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we're living up to our reputation 100% with the gray sky.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
You just said to call in and give names and you would read. I don't understand how this works.
Okay. Well, then just let me demonstrate it to you because it's very simple. You gave me your first name and I just know that you're on the phone and that's all that I need. No more than that. Now, the first thing that's coming into my mind, Chris, and by the way, you're on a cell phone and your cell phone is burping. So I just need to let you know that if I have to ask you to repeat something because it cuts out. Anyway, the first thing that I'm aware of with you is you've got to look at the past with clarity so that you can shelve and file permanently some of the aspects of your experiences and draw out of them what you need and let the rest go into the shredder. Put into your mental file cabinet that which is of value to you and shred the rest. It's very important. Because your life is undergoing a dramatic change right now, and if you do not pay attention to opportunity that's going to be coming up in very subtle ways for you to float into these changes, you are going to feel very confused. You're going to feel like you're going around in circles, and that is not the way things should be for you. Also, what I'm looking at is an aching in the physical body, and I don't want to say it's arthritis, but there is something here going on in your body that when you're under a lot of stress, you are not getting enough nutrition that is giving the body what it really needs. And you may need to work through this, perhaps with someone who is really skilled with nutrition and understands it well. And I would encourage you to consider doing juicing of vegetables because sometimes you have a hard time digesting them. And that can be a problem sometimes, especially as we get older, depending on the enzyme capacity of our system. But I would like to encourage you to look at maybe juicing fresh vegetables so that you're going to be able to get some of the nutrients that you need in addition to having supplements. But again, you need to really work with this to find out what is right for you physically. That is very important. Also, you love to travel. I think if you could have a backpack and just be on your way, going to different places, seeing different things, you love to learn, you love to do, and I want to say go for it. You're going to have the opportunity. It doesn't have to cost you a whole bunch of money. But right now, you've got to really deal with some issues of the past. And if you're willing to do that, then you're going to find that 2011 is going to be a year of opportunity. If you don't take care of your responsibilities today, you're going to find that you're going to have an overlap into 2011, and I really don't think you need to do that. I think if you can focus and be disciplined about what you really need for yourself, you're going to be very, very grateful for the opportunities coming up to you is in the way of work, money, and environment and personal associations. It just seems to cover everything. It's going to make such a difference to you. What question would you have for me today?
Well, recap. So you're saying I need to go through my stinking thing and shred that and then take the gold nuggets that I'm aware of and file those.
Well, your voice burped quite a bit, so let me just go to this again.
I'm not on a cell phone. I'm on a handheld landline, but the light's breaking up.
Oh, yes. It's just breaking up badly. Your voice is just doing... So I don't know what's interfering with a landline. It could be the telephone. If it's a... Is it a portable one?
Yes. And
okay. That's like a cell phone.
I can try a desktop, but it usually is worse, so I'm going to try it real quick.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Okay.
You're fine. Do you have a question for me?
Well, first I want to validate you. I had an MRI approximately a month ago, was in at the neurologist, and he said that the MRI shows that I have arthritis in my neck.
Okay.
And it goes down into the middle of my shoulder blades in the back.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is I have been struggling with an autoimmune disorder called multiple sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
So when I am under stress, it does exasperate MS symptoms.
All right.
And
what's your question to me, dear?
Well, the doctor is thinking I don't have multiple sclerosis, and he's thinking all of these things are from the arthritis.
Okay. Well, I really would like to encourage you to consider doing something. And that is doing either Qigong or
Qigong?
Tai Chi. Qigong.
Okay. As a form of exercise, like yoga?
Yes. Yes. Well,
okay.
It's not yoga. It is, Qigong is a very old, old exercise, if you will. We'll use one of our modern terms. It's
mm-hmm.
like Tai Chi, but it's different. But with Qigong, if you find out about some classes maybe that are in your local area, if you can find someone that's really skilled with this, I believe between doing something like Qigong or Tai Chi, you will be able to literally get rid of this. But it's not going to be a fast fix. It's going to take time because you're dealing with issues on multiple levels.
Okay.
And also with nutrition. But I would encourage you to check that out because I think it would totally transform your life.
I will do that.
And I want to thank you for your call, Chris.
And I also want to thank your guest earlier. That's what stopped me, and I started listening. And she's blessing so many people.
Oh, she is. And she is an incredible person. She really, really is. And again,
yeah.
I think anyone that comes forth in honesty about the traumas and tragedies they've had to go through, the candor that she exhibits in her book,
mm-hmm.
If I Die Before I Wake,
it's
marvelous.
To be transparent, but
mm-hmm.
I just want to tell you, I just know that her transparency is saving lives.
Absolutely.
That's a beautiful thing.
So,
okay,
well, I'm going to have to go on break, dear. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad you were able to join us.
Me too.
Bye-bye. This is Donna. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. But before I go, I want to remind those of you listening, if you've got a paranormal experience that you've been through, I'd love to hear your story. Won't you write it? I'm putting together a book. The deadline is the end of this year, actually January 1st of 2011. So I'd like to have your story before then because I'm accumulating stories and they're going to go into a file. I'm wanting to collect 100 stories if it's out of body, if you've had a visitation from a relative, anything that for you was an extraordinary experience. I would love to hear it. So send it to me via email, Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at delphiinternational.com. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to share. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. It's fall. Hey, you want to call in? I'd love to chat with you. 888-815-9756 is a toll-free number, and all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then let me tell you what I perceive, and after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. It is fall, and here in the Pacific Northwest, our trees, my goodness, are dropping leaves like crazy, and it looks like we're going to have a pretty wet winter, but in so many areas of the country, it is gorgeous. The leaves are beginning to change. And on one of my previous shows, I happened to have a caller from Connecticut, and the East Coast is absolutely gorgeous, just gorgeous to experience. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we can go up into areas like near Leavenworth, and there is a section of road called Stevens Pass to get you up into the Wenatchee area. And if you hit it just right, and my husband and I over the years have been fortunate enough to be able to be on Stevens Pass in the fall, and usually it occurs in October, you have this magnificent panorama of a colored quilt of reds and oranges and just variations of color tone that are breathtaking to see. And it's in a particular area at a higher elevation, and people will stop on the side of the road, get out their cameras, because it is just so exciting to be able to see it. We're not like the East Coast where you have this everywhere. And I have a very dear friend who just loved going into certain areas in New York because there were certain trees that in the fall, he said, you drive down these streets, and he said, they're nothing but blazing red, just this wonderful crimson color. Well, during the fall, it is worth getting in your vehicle and taking a drive because there is so much beauty that nature is just strutting and showing her stuff about that when you can be out and you can enjoy it, take the time to savor the season. The temps might get a little bit crisp in the evening, but it's just wonderful. And here in the Pacific Northwest, we have, of course, apples. And we have apple country, and I'm telling you, there's nothing like a fresh apple off the tree. So if you have a chance to go into environments, farm environments, maybe where they have pumpkin patches, or again, you have the fairs, the Puyallup Fair here in the Pacific Northwest, which is one of the top 10 in the country, they just closed their doors for after almost 3 weeks of being open. And it's just such an exciting experience to look at all of what nature's bounty can give us if we take care of it. And the kids just have a great time. So if you're in apple country like I am here in the Pacific Northwest, go up where the orchards are. Pick your apples. You'll find they are so delicious. They are more sweet than any candy you could ever put in your mouth. And there's all kinds of wonderful things. And then you might want to check out a local national park around you, because there are free guided tours that park rangers do, and there's a lot of fall events that they have going on in state and national parks. Now, all you have to do is go to stateparks.com to find out about what's going on in your neighborhood, or you can go to NPS, that's nancypaulsally.gov/BICY/index.htm. And you can go to that website and you can find out all kinds of things. But keep it simple, stateparks, nationalparks.com, and you'll be able to find out all kinds of activities. It is the time of the year to get out and to just savor and enjoy the wonderful season of fall. It's really my favorite time of the year. Actually, any season I'm in is my favorite time of the year. But there's something magical about fall, and I think it's because it's all about change. That's right. Well, if you want to boost your smarts, they have learned that all you have to do is work with computers. Well, you're already savvy with that. But did you realize that if you decide to learn how to play an instrument, your smart level is going to go up? Why? Because it is involving mathematics, and it also is involving concentration and the discipline of practice, and it also hones your ability to listen. That's right. The playing of a musical instrument hones your ability to listen, unless you're tone deaf. And it just is amazing the difference it makes. You know, in research that they've done with children, they have found that those kids that have music in their lives early on, it has made such a difference in their scholastic accomplishment. It really, really is very, very significant. Now, I've got a quick recipe for you that I wanted to share, and it has to do with steak fries. Now, I don't know about you. Now, this is a recipe you can adapt in any way that you want. But I have to admit, potatoes are a weakness of mine, and I'm not a French fry person. I usually don't like to eat French fries very often. But I'll tell you what, these steak fries would be easy to say, I think I'll have, you know, a pound or two. What you're going to need, it's 2 pounds of baking potatoes. Doesn't make any difference their size. You just need 2 pounds worth. You need a tablespoon of olive oil. And then you need 2 teaspoons of dry Southwest seasoning, whatever your favorite brand is, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Now, this is such an easy recipe. You could use lemon pepper. You could use whatever you want. You could use Italian seasoning. Have fun with this because it is really, really easy. You want to get your oven preheated to 350 degrees. You want to coat a large baking sheet with some cooking spray, or get a nonstick baking sheet and spray it with, you know, the nonstick spray. And then you want to cut your potatoes lengthwise into 1/2-inch wedges, and you want to put them in a large bowl. Now, you want to drizzle the oil and your seasoning, whatever your favorite seasoning might be, and salt over your potatoes, and just toss them until they're coated. I like to use a paper, plastic bag. Stick your potatoes in a big plastic bag, and then put your spices in there and just shake them all up. And then you bake them without turning until they're tender and golden brown. That takes about 40, 45 minutes. So you can make your own seasoning mix. You can have 1/2 teaspoon of paprika, 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano, 1/4 teaspoon of onion powder, 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/4 teaspoon of mustard powder, and 1/4 teaspoon of ground cumin, and a dash, or more if you like, of cayenne. There you've got your own spice mixture. Delicious and easy. Just have to remember, your baking time is going to be 40 to 45 minutes. Donna Sebo here. My goodness, tomorrow we're going to be talking about rescue animals, and I hope that you will join me. Diane Pomerantz is a repeat guest. This book is fabulous. It would make a wonderful gift to someone, especially if they love dogs. And we're going to be talking about her Rescue Dogs family album. So that's what we're going to be discussing tomorrow, and I invite you to join me. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are the one and the only in your life. And this is your day to live, not to exist, but to live. Count your blessings, and when you're about doing whatever activities you're going to be doing for the rest of the afternoon or evening, take a moment and say thanks to the universe, because you have the opportunity to expand yourself in a very special way. And you know what? Don't forget to turn on that inner light of yours, because your light might make a light that can brighten somebody else's space so that they can find their own. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.